Welcome to the temple. Welcome to the sanctuary. You don't have to worry. You just come on in. Welcome to the presence. Welcome to the family. You know, you don't have to hesitate. You just come on in. Come on in and sit down.
I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconferenced prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We are delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Welcoming the Seeker. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Romans. Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Luke. And it came to pass, into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him, the dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they had peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go, and answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and other fell on good ground, and sprang up and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. His disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. That on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Matthew. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Acts. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they daily laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 1 Peter. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. And who is he that will harm you? If ye be followers of that which is good, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Hebrews, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And from Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Millions of unprejudiced minds, simple seekers for truth, weary wanderers athirst in the desert, are waiting and watching for rest and drink. Give them a cup of cold water in Christ's name, and never fear the consequences. Those ready for the blessing you impart will give thanks. History teaches that the popular and false notions about the divine being and character have originated in the human mind. As there is in reality but one God, one mind, wrong notions about God must have originated in a false supposition, not in immortal truth, and they are fading out. They are false claims which will eventually disappear according to the vision of St. John in the Apocalypse. Jesus reasoned on this subject practically and controlled sickness, sin, and death on the basis of his spirituality. Understanding the nothingness of material things, he spoke of flesh and spirit as two opposites, as error and truth, not contributing in any way to each other's happiness and existence. Jesus knew it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. From Puritan parents, the discoverer of Christian Science early received her religious education. In childhood, she often listened with joy to these words falling from the lips of her saintly mother, God is able to raise you up from sickness. And she pondered the meaning of that scripture she so often quotes, and these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Christian Science, understood, coincides with the scriptures and sustains logically and demonstratively every point it presents. Otherwise, it would not be science and could not present its proofs. Christian Science is neither made up of contradictory aphorisms nor of the inventions of those who scoff at God. It presents the calm and clear verdict of truth against error, uttered and illustrated by the prophets, by Jesus, by his apostles, as is recorded throughout the scriptures. Why are the words of Jesus more frequently cited for our instruction than are his remarkable works? Is it not because there are few who have gained a true knowledge of the great import to Christianity of those works? The physical healing of Christian Science results now, as in Jesus' time, from the operation of divine principle, before which sin and disease lose their reality in human consciousness and disappear as naturally and as necessarily as darkness gives place to light and sin to reformation. Now as then, these mighty works are not supernatural, but supremely natural. They are the sign of Emmanuel, or God with us, a divine influence ever present in human consciousness and repeating itself, coming now, as was promised aforetime, to preach deliverance to the captives of sense, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. When God called the author to proclaim his gospel to this age, there came also the charge to plant and water his vineyard. The best sermon ever preached is truth practiced and demonstrated by the destruction of sin, sickness, and death. Knowing this, and knowing too that one affection would be supreme in us and take the lead in our lives, Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters." The way to extract error from mortal mind is to pour in truth through flood tides of love. In the scientific relation of God to man, we find that whatever blesses one blesses all, as Jesus showed with the loaves and the fishes, spirit, not matter, being the source of supply. God is not the creator of an evil mind. Indeed, evil is not mind. We must learn that evil is the awful deception and unreality of existence. Evil is not supreme. Good is not helpless. Nor are the so-called laws of matter primary and the law of spirit secondary. Without this lesson, we lose sight of the perfect Father or the divine principle of man. Emerge gently from matter into spirit. Think not to thwart the spiritual ultimate of all things, but come naturally into spirit through better health and morals and as the result of spiritual growth. Not death, but the understanding of life makes man immortal. In order to apprehend more, we must put into practice what we already know. We must recollect that truth is demonstrable when understood, and that good is not understood until demonstrated. If faithful over a few things, we shall be made rulers over many, but the one unused talent decays and is lost. When the sick or the sinning awake to realize their need of what they have not, they will be receptive of divine science, which gravitates towards soul and away from material sense, removes thought from the body, and elevates even mortal mind to the contemplation of something better than disease or sin. The true idea of God gives the true understanding of life and love, robs the grave of victory, takes away all sin and the delusion that there are other minds, and destroys mortality. The effects of Christian science are not so much seen as felt. It is the still, small voice of truth uttering itself. The divine spirit, which identified Jesus thus centuries ago, has spoken through the inspired word and will speak through it in every age and clime. It is revealed to the receptive heart and is again seen casting out evil and healing the sick. Students are advised by the author to be charitable and kind, not only towards differing forms of religion and medicine, but to those who hold these differing opinions. Let us be faithful in pointing the way through Christ as we understand it, but let us also be careful always to judge righteous judgment and never to condemn rashly. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is, fear not that he will smite thee again for thy forbearance. The life of Christ Jesus was not miraculous, but it was indigenous to his spirituality, the good soil wherein the seed of truth springs up and bears much fruit. Christ's Christianity is the chain of scientific being reappearing in all ages, maintaining its obvious correspondence with the scriptures, and uniting all periods in the design of God. Those who are willing to leave their nets or to cast them on the right side for truth have the opportunity now, as aforetime, to learn and to practice Christian healing. The scriptures contain it. The spiritual import of the word imparts this power. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being.